All right, welcome back into the podcast. We got a special guest joining us tonight. We have NYCHO's head women's basketball coach, Pat Jones, and recent state championship coach. Right. Actually, that's two in, if I'm not mistaken, two in the last 5 years. Is that right, Pat?
Two in the last four.
All right, all right. How you doing tonight, man?
I'm doing good. How you guys doing?
Good, good, good. That's like we were just catching up before you. You know, we're all Poca boys here, and I was like, I knew them growing up Poca, so we put that connection. So there's always a little bit of a Poca connection. But so how many years have you been the coach at NYCHO? What was this for you?
This was my seventh season at NYCHO.
All right, and what exactly, like, how did you get into girls basketball? I know you and your brother were good high school basketball players. What was it about getting into girls basketball that kind of drew you to that?
Well, honestly, it caught me off guard because I was an assistant coach at Capital for probably about 12 years. I helped Paul Clark coach up there. I coached the NYCHO team and helped the JV and varsity. And one of my buddies was the coach prior to me, and he called and asked me if I would come down one day and just kind of help work with his girls to prepare them for sectionals. And I was like, yeah, I don't have anything going on. So I wasn't coaching anymore at the time because Matt Green had taken over at Capital, and he brought in his own staff. So when he called me and asked me, I was like, yeah, I'll come down. I don't have anything going on. And so I went down there and worked with them for about a week to prepare for sectionals. And I think they won the first game of sectionals, and then they went to regionals, I think it was, and played Wayne, and they got beat. And they about probably – 2 or 3 months after that, my buddy reached out to me and told me he was stepping down, and he was like, I think some of the parents want you to take the job. And I was like, shit, you've lost your mind. I'm not coaching girls basketball. I've coached boys basketball all my life. I can't coach girls. And he was like, nah, it'll be fine. He was like, give it a shot. And I was like, man. So I was actually on a bachelor party, and Mr. Redmond, who was the principal at the time, reached out to me while I was there in Nashville, and he said, hey, I think I'm supposed to interview you. And I was like, no, you're not. I was like, don't listen to what these people are saying. They're just joking. And he was like, well, he's like, come in when you get back in town. Let's sit down. Let's talk. And, we'll go from there. So I was like, all right. Well, then these parents started reaching out to me as I got back in town. I was like, please take the job. You're the perfect person for it. We think you'll do a great job, blah, blah, blah. And then they told me about Bailey Goins coming in. And I didn't even know who Bailey Goins was at the time. And so I went to, I think it was the county semifinal game. And, I mean, she was impressive. Yeah. And I was like, so she's coming to NYCHO next year. And they were like, yeah. And I said, okay, well, that makes them look And so I went and met with Redmond. We talked, and then, Steve Ash, who's one of my scouts, he does a lot of work for us at NYCHO. He was interested in the job also, but felt like he was a little too old. And he reached out to me and was like, I don't think I'm going to take the job. If they offer it to me, I want you to take it. I feel like you would relate to the girls better. And I'm just like, oh, my God. Like, I've never coached a girl before in my life. What am I doing? And then Redmond offered me the job, and the rest is pretty much history. I've been there for 7 years since.
All right.
Hey, another Poca connection,
yeah,
by the way.
Poca. Yeah, Jason Redmond was a heck of a
football and basketball.
Yeah, Jason Redmond, yeah. He was a freak athlete. That's why he's like a Bailey Goins. He was a freak athlete.
Yeah, so it's been 7 years. You kind of mentioned it, like not knowing what you're going to do. And that's one thing that I don't think people understand is how much, when you're getting into coaching, how much of a time sacrifice it is, like family-wise. Yeah. So, like, this past year, I don't know what I was thinking. I coached middle school football and basketball. So, my life from August to the beginning of February was over. But luckily, my son was on the team. And then my little six-year-old, I was kind of able to take him to a lot of the games and stuff like that. I'm bringing that up kind of leading in. Like, I kind of followed you and your wife's story with your babies. Is it Everly and Emerson? Do I have that right?
Yes.
If you just kind of want to talk about that, because I think it really is an amazing story how they were born, I mean, really premature, and just kind of, your journey for that, because we're going to talk about life a little bit too before we, get into more sports.
So we had to go the IVF route for to have a kid. It was in vitro fertilization. It's a long, very long process. We went with a company out of, I think it was North Carolina. Carolina Fertility Clinic was the name of it. Made some trips down there, met with some people, ended up going the IVF route. We went to the doctor at her 25th week, I think it was the day before her 25th week. And everything was good. They were going to ultrasounds, everything looked good. And then we were getting ready to leave, and she said, hold on, I forgot to check one of the baby's cords. We were like, okay, no big deal. I'm on my phone texting, getting ready to go back to work. And she got to, which was Everly. She said, I don't really like what I see here. She said, I want to bring the doctor in and have him look, but I'm pretty sure he's probably going to send you to the hospital. And I was like, for what? I was like, everything just looked good. And she was like, well, let's see what he says. And he walked in and he turned around and looked at the TV they had on the wall. And he was like, I need to get to the ER. And I'm like, he's like, I'm direct admitting you. And I'm like, whoa, hold up. I was like, everything was just fine like 2 minutes ago. Now you're coming in here with this. I was like, what is going on? And he was like, well, I think we're having twin transfusion. One of the babies is not getting blood flow, but I'm not certain. He said, just, you know, from what I can see, it doesn't look good, but I want to take her in, run some tests, and, you know, in a couple hours, we'll know what we're going to do. So I'm like, what the heck? I was like, okay, so what's the worst scenario? He was like, worst scenario, we're delivering your babies tonight. And I'm like, whoa, we're 25 weeks. Like, what are you talking about? And so, of course, I call my mom, my brother, I'm bawling, crying, like, you know, what is going on here? Am I going to lose my kids? So we get to the hospital, and they come in, and my brother's wife is the NICU manager at Women's and Children's, which made life a lot easier through the 82-day process. But she came in while they were running the test on my wife, and I saw her look at her phone and type something about get ready. And I thought, oh, boy, this is not good. And then she looked at me, and she's like, I'll be back. I was like, no, you're not. I was like, I ain't crazy. And she turned at the door, and she turned and looked at me, and then he walked in, and he's like, okay, so here's where we stand. He's like, let me see what, you know, how do you guys feel? What do you want to do? And I was like, well, hold up. I said, you're the doctor.
Right.
I go with your decision. What do you think we should do? This was your kid. And he was like, okay. He was like, well, he said, get ready. We're delivering these babies. And I'm like, oh my God. I was like, you're dead serious. He's like, well, I'm afraid that the other one is not getting blood flow now. He was like, so I'm really concerned. He was like, we have two good heartbeats. I want to get in and get them out. And I'm like, oh, Lord. So we went in, and one was born, I think, at 5:26. The other was born at 5:27. And one came out crying. The one that we were most concerned with started crying as soon as she came out. Of course, it made me start crying also, because that was the one we were most concerned with, because we didn't know how long she had been without blood flow or, you know, what the issues were. And they spent 82 or 84 days in the NICU at Women's and Children's, which, I mean, those people are unbelievable. And of course, my sister-in-law, who's the NICU manager there, she made sure, you know, she had the best team taking care of them the whole time. And now we just celebrated their 2-year birthday last Thursday.
Yeah, that's awesome. See, I just remember seeing it all on social media. It blew up, like, you know, just people supporting you all and everything like that.
It was a crazy process. Like, I've never been so unprepared for parenting all my life.
Yeah. And I don't even know, like, and then you're talking about an 82-day process. We're all dads here. Like, I don't even know how to function outside of life. You know what I mean? Like, I wouldn't want to leave the hospital or do anything. So that would have been just, yeah, I get it, man. It's an incredible story.
It was very hard. I won't lie. That was the one thing that we said. Like, we stayed at the hospital for an entire week. And what was crazy was the second night there, Everly, who was the one with, you know, that we were most concerned with, had a severe brain bleed. And she had a grade 3 and a grade 4 brain bleed, which not a lot of people know this, but they were both diagnosed with cerebral palsy probably about 6 to 8 months ago, somewhere in there. But they're both doing good. I mean, you know, you wouldn't know it by looking at them, but Everly has a lot of stiffness on her left side, struggles to walk and things like that. But we got them in physical therapy 5 days a week, and we work with them at home also.
Yeah.
That second night there, we were asleep, and just that weird feeling how you feel like somebody's standing over top of you looking at you. I opened up my eyes, and one of the doctors, the hospitalist, I guess, just kind of looking over us and was telling us, you know, like, you guys need to come down to the NICU because we don't know if she's going to make it.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
I'm just like, oh, yeah, like, I thought.
Right, yeah, no, I don't.
So, you know, it was long. And then when we were going home, I'm like, you know, we're both looking at each other in the car like, how are we going to make it 82 days with our kids in the hospital?
Right.
And I mean, my wife's unbelievable. We had a great process. Like, she went and checked on them first thing in the mornings. I would go when I left for work. She would go on her lunch. I would stop after work. We would go home and eat, shower, go back and stay as late as you could.
Yeah.
So it was, you know, it was a long process, but, you know, people don't give you off work for
right.
months.
Yep.
We didn't make you. So we're still having to work. And luckily I'm in medical sales. So I could just stop in between accounts and just check on, make sure they're good, text my brothers or my sister-in-law and make sure that, you know, they're doing okay and that they don't need anything and everything's okay. And we meet the doctors occasionally here and there and get updates. But it was a long 82 days. I think it was 82 days, but it was a long process for sure.
Definitely an amazing story. And Brent, you mentioned a kind of a, you know, kind of locally went viral just because everybody was supporting and things like that. But on a lighter note, you know, you may not know this. It's not the first time he's gone viral on online. Did you know this?
I don't know this. I don't know.
Well, you know, this is the consequence of knowing poker people, but I'll tell you a little bit and then we'll let Pat tell it.
Okay. I don't know what's going on.
You know how typically you don't see the bride before the wedding, but now the newer thing in the last few years is
you video it.
Before the wedding, that way you go and get the pictures out of the way and you video that first reaction, right?
Yeah.
So that first reaction of that groom seeing that bride all dolled up and everything else. God. Well, Pat, tell them what you did.
Oh, man. So I was at dinner one night with my cousin and his fiance. My cousin went to the bathroom and she was like, I need a favor. And I'm like, okay, what is it? And she was like, so for the first look, when he turns around, I want you to be standing there. And I was like, are you for real? She was like, yeah. I was like, no, you're not. She was like, I'm dead serious. And I was like, okay, well, yeah, I'm Dale.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's an I do.
And so we did it. And I mean, it took off. It really did. I mean, I think it still has views to this day.
Oh, yeah.
Over 100 million.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I've seen that and had no idea.
You didn't know it was Pat?
No.
Like Entertainment Tonight or something. Like, I don't know. We were all kinds of
people. Yeah.
Like, people interview us. Now everybody does it. But
yeah.
I would say.
And we didn't expect it. Like, when it came out, like, the guy that filmed it, he sent it to us. He's like, listen. He was like, I think this might go viral. And I'm like, okay. Like, whatever. Like, I'm not buying it. Like, but whatever. And literally within 24 hours, we had like 10 million views, like hundreds of thousands and thousands of shares. And I'm like, oh my God, but this is getting carried away.
How many years ago was it?
Like news station.
It's been a while now, hasn't it?
This was about 6 years ago.
So you may have been the first person to start it.
Oh, I'm sure. I think he was.
to this day, people still tag me on like Twitter. And
I had no clue.
Things like that. They're like, dude, you went viral. And I'm like, it just keeps. And I'm like, and the bad part is, we made like $500 a piece off of it. But I think the guy who made it, I'm paying for every one of his trips to Disney.
Yep.
The dude's always on vacation going to Disney and all that. And I'm just like, this dude's made millions off of my videos. $300.
I mean, that was, you know, 6 years ago, so TikTok really wasn't that big.
Yeah.
Had it been now,
no.
I mean, it would have been even bigger. Yeah. But
I mean, here recently is when I've been getting the TikToks. And the
oh, yeah.
Bags. And when I got it on Twitter, I was like, oh, my God, this thing is still going around. And then I got on Facebook and clicked on one of them from, like, years ago, and it had, like, I want to say, like, 5 or 6 million likes and, like, comments galore. And I was just like, this is still going crazy. Like, I'm paying for this dude's house right now.
So if you you literally don't have to put Pat Jones in. You just put best man dresses bride, and it comes up.
He's the first one.
Well, he's not only the first one. It's on like 10 platforms. I mean, there's a USA Today. Look at this USA Today article. There's like all these articles with your picture in it.
Yeah, that's great.
There's a you should get money for this. They've got look at these wedding suits for men.
And that's all
that really should be royalties there.
If you watch the video, we start laughing so hard, like I've been over laughing and I blow the zipper off
about it. Oh wow. Well, let's get in before we let you go. A little bit of basketball.
This year.
Yeah, I mean, you just won second state championship, which is, you know, unbelievable. Some coaches go 30 years without winning one. What do you have coming back? I mean, do we want to kind of get in? I mean, you do intend on still coaching, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
I plan on coming back.
And what do you?
I get offered the Marshall job.
Yeah.
Hey, you never know. Hey, you never know. She went from Glenville to Tennessee in 3 years.
I mean, listen, she's
unbelievable. She is.
I've never followed a Marshall girls basketball game. No disrespect to Marshall.
Oh, you can disrespect Marshall on this one.
This year, I watched more of their games than I did WVU men's basketball.
No, yeah, because we're a WVU podcast, but you're probably – it might be close to some of us.
Well, Pat's a WVU fan. I've seen him up there. Yeah, and that's true. I mean,
I love WVU basketball. friends with KJ, Deshaun Truck. I'm friends with all them. So we talk all the time, but they understood completely.
Yeah. So what's your outlook on next year? What do you have coming back in Nitro?
Got Natalie Smith coming back. I know Natalie.
Okay.
She's a good group.
I've got everybody coming back but one player.
Yeah. Wow.
I lose Haley Newsom, who was my senior. She started. I think she averaged around 6 or 7 a game, maybe. But I get a lot of the people excited. I get Ava Edwards, Brooklyn, Carly, Micah Adams, Natalie Smith. I get Bree Adams. I get Carson Jones back from the torn ACL. She'll be a junior. So really, my next 2 to 3 years at Nitro, we have a lot of talent.
We'll lose
a couple next year, but my freshman class, I tell everyone, I've got one of probably the top freshman classes in the state. And I'm very excited to see what they do through their high school career.
So let's talk about, you know, we're all late 30s, early 40s here. How much of a better system is it now than what we went through? Because, we've talked about we're Poca boys. I feel like every year Poca and Winfield were top 5 in boys and knocked each other out in sectional. Yeah. You went to Capitol. I'm sure you dealt with some of the same things when you were playing. So now you got Wayne. You guys were the top probably 2 teams in the state, and they're in your region. So how much better of a system do you think it is now? And, you know, that's a couple years in a row. They went up there and just been beat at the state tournament after they had really impressive years. So, you know, what'd you kind of do in that matchup against them too?
I mean, Wayne is very well coached. I like Wayne. We're really good friends. They have a very good team. I have a really good coaching staff also. And that's no disrespect to his coaching staff, but, you know, my coaches – we're big on breaking down film with the girls, with ourselves. Like I said, Steve Ash goes out and scouts games, breaks down film, and gets us to us and breaks down the out of bounds plays. Every play they run, we've got it on a sheet of paper. So we are prepared ahead of time. And while he's scouting it, he memorizes it. So when he's sitting there, he's like, they're going to the corner. They're going to the top of the key. They're cutting. Like he lets me know before the ball's even thrown in who the play is designed for. So it's kind of like a college system almost. We each have our own role. I do the coaching. My assistants do the subbing. Steve does the scouting. And we work together so well. And I think that makes a big difference in, you know, how we do it. And not only that, we relate very well to the girls. We all get along. We don't have drama on our team. And, you know, it shows at the end of the season because I put together a tough schedule also. I don't go out and, you know, put a cupcake schedule together. Like this year we went to Parkersburg Catholic. We went to East Fairmont. We went to Cabell Midland. I want to play a tough schedule. We played like 4A schools because it only prepares us more for the postseason, and that's the ultimate goal. Like I've told everyone, I don't care if I lose every game in the regular season. I can still make the state tournament and be 4-25 or 3-22, whatever it is. You know, so we don't care about what the regular season holds. It only prepares us for the postseason, so I want to make it as tough and as difficult as possible.
Yeah,
but you know, next year's team coming back, they understand it. We have one of the best shootouts in the state. We bring in like the top teams in 4A, 3A, 2A, and single A every year at Nitro for a shootout in June. And that kind of prepares us too. It gives me an opportunity to see all these schools and, you know, see what I'm going to be up against. But at the same time, I put my team up against the top competition in that shootout to prepare us for, you know, the season.
Yeah. And that's what people don't understand. A season is, I mean, they're long seasons. They're hard. Like you talked about scouting. So
then I tell everybody basketball is a year-round sport now.
Yeah.
Like it's just that busy because once you get to June and you're in June, you got your 3-week period. And then as soon as the 3-week period's over, you got fall leagues starting up. I mean, in August, you get the month of July off, which most girls are in, you know, travel ball season.
Yeah.
That's the biggest season of the, I guess, month. July is the biggest month. So they're out preparing for that. But then as soon as that's over, school starts back and you're in fall league through basically the middle of October. And then you get a week off and then you're right back into basketball tryouts and practices and season. So I don't really think basketball gets a break anymore.
Yeah.
As coaches, we don't get paid enough for the work that we do. I can promise you that.
Oh, yeah. And so then, you know, how long do you enjoy a state championship for? I mean, you know what I mean? Like, how long did you just kind of rest in and be like, all right, here's another one? You know what I mean?
Honestly, the first one, I won't lie, I enjoyed it for a while. This one, I mean, I'm still enjoying it, but I've also taken more of a step back. Usually, I want to try to get the girls back into the gym and get them working out, get them conditioning, get them ready, things like that. But this year, like I said, at the end of the state championship game with the media, it was a long, exhausting season. And I've actually had parents reach out to me because I've not reached out to really anyone other than the the school had a pep assembly, and we got sized for rings last week. I've not really reached out to the team and the players or anything, so a lot of the parents were kind of concerned and worried, like, I'm like, what's going on here? Because I've really taken a large step back, but mostly because I don't get to see my kids a lot during the season.
Well, yeah.
So I've enjoyed being home and spending my evenings with them, playing with them, taking them for walks, you know, whatever I can do to spend time with my kids, because then once the season starts back, you know, I don't want to say dad role takes the back seat to basketball season, but I'll come home from work at 4:30 or 5, and I've got about 30 minutes, and I've got to leave to go to Nitro, because it takes me 30 minutes to get to Nitro from my house. So, and then I'm at practice till 7:45, 8 o'clock, and I get home at 8:30, my kids are in bed, so I don't see them again until the next morning at about 5:30 or 6 o'clock when we get them up to get them ready for school or for daycare.
Yeah, and that's kind of why I wanted to talk about that, you know, your journey with that, because, you know, speaking of viral, that your press conference, I don't know if it went viral, but it did go
locally.
Locally. It was the thing that was talked about at the boys' state tournament the next week at Adelphia and wherever else we were. I mean, coaches were just like, man, I've wanted to say that forever.
Yeah.
And I know you might have caught slack from it from parents and stuff like that, but kudos. I mean, you know what I mean? You're more than just a coach.
I caught some slack from a couple of parents, which, I mean, it's expected. You know, the thing was, I never singled out any particular parent, any particular kid, anything like that. But I, like I said, I had about probably 200 plus coaches reach out to me and thank me for what I said, because basically they wanted to say it for years, but I don't want to say they didn't have the backbone, but they couldn't say it.
Yep.
And I even went to school the following week, and I told my athletic director, I said, listen, you know, you guys want to fire me. It was a long season, and I was kind of frustrated. He said, you all are support.
Yeah,
awesome.
You're fine. He was like, it's no big deal.
What's so different nowadays?
It's going to take some time for it to go away. Like I told you guys earlier, like, I'm trying to, you know, put it on the back burner and move forward, but I'll still be out to dinner with my wife, my kids, or anybody in my family, and people will walk by like, Coach, great season. Love what you said.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm like, oh, thank you. I appreciate it, you know. So, I mean, it is what it is. It felt good to get it off my chest, but at the same time, I'm moving forward, and hopefully, you know, we can repeat and go back to back. That's the ultimate goal now.
All right, one more question, because we are a WVU podcast. What's your season prediction for next year? Keep in mind, the schedule is way harder.
You're talking about football.
Football, not basketball, because we only have coaches yet. We got two coaches and no roster. So, football.
You're talking about what's my prediction for
WVU? Oh, yeah. What do you think? I mean, just preliminary. We can get you on closer in August and let you make a –
I know MGM has them at 6.5 on the over-under. I love the over. I love it. The schedule, I think they can win. I really think they can win about 8 or 9 games next year, not counting the bowl game.
Yeah. And I think, you know, we went 8-4 this year, but we had – I mean, it's not the same schedule. We're playing next year with Arizona on there and a couple of those other teams. So
yeah, but everybody – I mean,
I think the Penn State game is going to – it's going to define the entire season. If we go out and beat Penn State – that Pitt game on September 14th will be a good one.
Oh, yeah.
Well, then, you know, Justin a couple weeks ago on April Fool's sends one that Jaheim White was in the transfer portal. I'm like, that's the worst one ever.
I got
then
you.
He got me later.
Who's going to the transfer portal?
No, he sent it on April Fool's Day, trying to trick us. I was like, that's the worst April Fool's ever. But later in the day, I forget about it. And he sends one that says, WVU Penn State moved to Thursday night. And I just started cussing. He said, I got you now, Mick.
And I saw that at Penn State that would be game moving Thursday.
Yeah.
Like,
yep, I was mad.
I texted my wife. I said, I'm probably going to go to this game, so I don't know if you're going to be able to get a center. And then my brother told me, he's like, I was like, April Fool's, like, there's no game on the phone.
Yeah, it should be fun, though. I mean, it's going to be fun out of the gate. You know, Neil was just saying today that he said, I know this is hard to believe without Frazier. But our line might end up being better overall this year, which is crazy to think about. So,
yeah. Well,
I hope so. I mean, I'm a season ticket holder. My season ticket, actually, the girl messaged me today. My money's due on Friday for my season tickets. And I was talking to my wife, asking her if we were going to renew them. And she kind of looked at me like, well, how would we renew them? But I'm thinking, I can't get rid of them. Eventually, they're going to be really good again.
Exactly.
As soon as I don't renew them, this will be the year that they have an outstanding season.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But with 2-year-olds now, I can make more home games. You know, last 2 years, I've renewed them and made maybe one game the entire season.
Yep. Yeah, our kids are now old enough where they enjoy going back. We were like that, you know, what, 8 years ago. You got a younger one, Brent. But
it doesn't matter, Pat. My youngest one, he'll try to drink a beer. He's 6 years old. He'll try to guzzle one right in front of him.
Oh yeah, Pat. He was.
Take his kids up there, but they try to avoid the blue lot because the section we party in is a little too rough for a 9-year-old or 6-year-old.
Yeah. Not Brent's. He was yelling "Eat Chip Pit" to people.
Yeah, Pit fans.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
He might. He may not be allowed to attend WVU.
I will tell you though, this Saturday at Nitro, I don't know when you guys are putting this out, but this Saturday at Nitro, we're having a girls alumni game, and Bailey Goins and Withrow, and a lot of the older girls like Keisha Tyler, Tara Hammond, Jenny Setter, Kendra Wallace, they're all coming back to play the crew that won the first state championship and a couple other girls that graduated.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
That is. I wonder, Ashley Huffman, that was Megan Withrow's years, right?
She was a little older, maybe 2 years older.
Do you remember?
I think she graduated about the same year I did. A year, like maybe after.
Yep. Okay.
I think she was a poker girl too.
All the way up until. Yeah.
Well, she never moved. She just somehow transferred back then. But
transfer portal was a lot back then.
Yeah, that's right. Back in the 90s or whatever it was. All right, man. Well, Pat Wynn, we really appreciate you joining us. Great talking to you. Well, we have to get you back on here for some WU talk here later in the year. We'll pick your brain about once we get this roster together and DeVries and this whole thing. So, but yeah, man.
Yeah,
we are too. But congratulations again. We appreciate you joining us, and we'll catch up with you down the road, man.
All right, guys. Appreciate you. Have a good evening.
Yeah, you too. Thanks.
Yep.